Hello there, and welcome to the Shellac Stack. My name is Brian Wright, your host for this little musical variety hour featuring 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century. Well, they say that April showers bring May flowers. They also bring a few other things. Yeah, it's that time again.
I paid my income tax today. I'm only one of millions more whose income never was taxed before. A tax I'm very glad to pay. I'm squared up with the USA. You see those bombers in the sky? Rockefeller helped to build them, so did I. I paid my income tax today.
I paid my income tax today. I'm only one of millions more whose income never was taxed before. A tax I'm very glad to pay. I'm squared up with the USA. You see those bombers in the sky? Rockefeller helped to build them, so did I. I paid my income tax today.
Income tax today. I'm only one of millions more whose income never was taxed before. A tax I'm very glad to pay. I'm squared up with the USA. You see those bombers in the sky? Rockefeller helped to build them, so did I.
I paid my income tax today.
Probably the most cheerful and chipper song you'll ever hear about paying income tax. That was Dick Robertson and the American Four, a Decca record made in New York on January 9th, 1942. You probably guessed the title. It's called I Paid My Income Tax Today. And how I wish I could be that happy and tuneful about writing my own check to Uncle Sam. But I guess in 1942, it was still something of a novelty for most Americans to be paying an income tax. And they probably didn't think it was going to last very long. The very first U.S. federal income tax had been put in place in the early 1860s during the American Civil War. It was a fundraiser for the war, and it amounted to about a modest 3% tax on people making over $800 a year. The tax went away after the war, and it wasn't until 1913 that the first standing income tax was put in place. And even then, it was only on the wealthiest 10% of Americans, and it faced some legal challenges that Supreme Court had to decide whether an income tax like that was even constitutional. After some back and forth, they decided that it was. And in 1942, with the onset of World War II, the program was expanded to cover, for the first time, most middle-class Americans as well. So in 1942, it was the first time many Americans were faced with paying an income tax, and they had good reason to think, based on history, that at the end of the war, it would go away. Well, it didn't, and we're still paying it today. That song was written by Irving Berlin, and on today's program, for no particular reason, I thought we'd salute Irving Berlin. Listen to all songs composed by Irving Berlin this hour. We'll hear a few more seasonally oriented ones, including this next one. It's a Capitol record from 1948. A song that comes from the film Easter Parade, for which Irving Berlin contributed the songs. And this is one called A Fella with an Umbrella. Irv Roth is the vocalist, with some lyrics suitable for this time of year. It's raining as I put together today's program. I hope you'll enjoy this. Capital 15092, here's Skitch Henderson and his orchestra, A Fella with an Umbrella.
I'm just a fella, a fella with an umbrella, looking for a girl who saved her love for a rainy day. I'm just a fella with an umbrella, glad to see the skies of blue have turned into skies of gray. Raindrops have brought us together, and that's what I long to see. Maybe the break in the weather will prove to be a break for me. So I'll be the fella with an umbrella. If you'll be the girl who saved her love for a rainy day.
Have Irv Roth singing with Skitch Henderson and his orchestra, A Fella with an Umbrella, a Capitol record from 1948. Well, before we continue along our little salute to Irving Berlin on today's program, I thought I should point out that it's not my goal this hour to present any kind of comprehensive survey of Irving Berlin's output. For a man who wrote many, many hundreds of songs, that would be a fool's errand indeed. Rather, I thought I would just present a nice sampling of Irving Berlin's songs over the course of his career, some of them not very well remembered, others still pretty famous today. In this next set, we're going to hear some acoustic recordings made in the 19-teens and early 20s of Irving Berlin's songs. I don't think any of these would be considered standards today. First up, we'll hear Bob Herring and his orchestra, a lovely waltz. This was recorded in January of 1925. The song is called Listening. Unfortunately, I don't know who the vocalist is. He's not credited on the label, and he doesn't show up in the discography. It's Cameo 696. After that, we'll go all the way back to 1913 for a record made in October of that year by Henry Burr. It's a Columbia record of the song called Take Me Back. And then we'll finish with Harry Reeser and the Riga Dance Orchestra. That's at least how it's credited. Really, I think Fred W. Hager is the director here. The song, probably the best remembered of this lot, is called Everybody Step. It's an OK record, 4452, recorded in October of 1921. So three more songs written by Irving Berlin, starting off with Bob Herring and his orchestra, and Listening.
Thank you. parted, somehow I never knew you'd leave me broken hearted, pining away for you. All that I really care for, all that I wanted near, all that made life worth living, vanished with you, my dear. Take me back, won't you say?
Thank you.
there you have Harry Reeser playing banjo along with the Riga Dance Orchestra under the direction of Fred W. Hager. The song was called Everybody Step. That was recorded for the OK label in October of 1921 and taken at a more stately tempo than I'm accustomed to hearing it. The song comes from a production called the Music Box Review. Now, in this case, the Music Box was a theater that had opened not too many years before in New York and of which Irving Berlin was a substantial part owner. Before that, we heard Henry Burr in 1913, a Columbia record of Take Me Back. And we started the set with Bob Herring's orchestra, Cameo 696, from January of 1925. The song was Listening. All three of those composed by Irving Berlin. And indeed, on today's Shellac Stack program, we're saluting Irving Berlin, not necessarily playing his biggest hits or even all obscurities, but hopefully striking a healthy balance between the two. I'm certainly glad you found the program. For those of you just joining us for the first time, my name is Brian Wright, and on this little program, I play 78 RPM records from my collection. I hope you enjoy the music. Irving Berlin had a long career. His first published piece was in 1907 when he was just 18 years old and stretched all the way until the mid-1960s when he retired. He was born in 1888 in Russia. His given name was Israel Beilin. In later years, he would recall that his only memory of his time in Russia was watching the family's house burn to the ground. Now, whether that was the impetus for the father to pick up and move his family to New York, I don't know, but that's what he did when young Irving Berlin was just 5 years old. They immigrated through Ellis Island. Back in Russia, Irving Berlin's father had been a Jewish cantor, but he was unable to find work along those lines in New York. So instead, he took a job behind the meat counter at a kosher grocery. Unfortunately, that didn't last too long. His father died when young Irving Berlin was just 13 years old, so it fell to him and his siblings to pick up the slack and provide for the family. This found Irving Berlin in the Lower East Side of Manhattan selling newspapers on the street. He would hear the sounds of vaudeville and theaters and music swirling all around, and he eventually got the idea that he wanted to be a singing waiter in a restaurant. And he managed to do that and would entertain customers by singing songs that they knew, but rewriting the lyrics, sometimes making them a little on the blue side, shall we say. Anyway, the patrons loved this and encouraged him, and he took up songwriting, and as I said a moment ago, he published his very first song in 1907. He didn't have his first big hit until 1911 when he published Alexander's Ragtime Band, and from then on, he was a famous, celebrated composer of American pop songs. As I said, that continued well into the 1960s. We'll talk a bit more about his career later on, but for now, let's get back to some music. Here's Earl Burtnett and his Los Angeles Biltmore Hotel Orchestra, a Brunswick record, recorded in Los Angeles, November 14th, 1930. The vocal is by Earl Burtnett's Biltmore Trio. The song by Irving Berlin is called The Little Things in Life. Thank you.
Do I love you? I'll tell you no lie. How deep is the ocean? How high is the sky? How many times a day do I think of you? How many roses are sprinkled with dew? How far would I travel to be where you are? How far is the journey from here to a star? And if I ever lost you, how much would I cry? How deep is the ocean? How high is the sky? How can I tell you what is in my heart? How can I measure each and every part? How can I tell you how much I love you? How can I measure just how much I do?
Lonely hearts beat. living as one can be miserable and still have a lot of fun.
We started that set with a November 1930 recording on the Brunswick label by Earl Burnett and his Los Angeles Biltmore Hotel Orchestra. The song was called The Little Things in Life. After that, it was Charlie Palloy recording in the depths of the Depression in September of 1932 for the Little Crown label. The song was How Deep is the Ocean? How High is the Sky? For many years, Charlie Palloy was known as nothing more than a poor man's Bing Crosby, which I think is a bit unfair because he played guitar marvelously and also led a pretty nice band on some of these Crown records. For many years, though, he was a mystery figure. Not much was known about him, but in recent years, Crown researcher Chris Berry has turned up all kinds of interesting information about Charlie Palloy, including the fact that he lived well into the 1990s, even if his career as a recording artist was limited to just a few years in the early 1930s. After that, it was Eddie Duchin and his orchestra. Stanley Wirth was the vocalist on an April 23, 1940 recording for the Columbia label. The song was You're Lonely and I'm Lonely, and it comes from the play Louisiana Purchase, which Irving Berlin wrote all the songs for. It premiered in New York City on May 28, 1940 and ran for 444 performances. The musical satirized Louisiana Governor Huey Long and his control over Louisiana politics. Not too many memorable songs from Louisiana Purchase, but there was this one, and I don't think it's too bad of a song. Probably Irving Berlin's most popular stage play was Annie Get Your Gun, and he wasn't even supposed to write the music for it. Originally, Annie Get Your Gun was supposed to be written by Jerome Kern, but once Jerome Kern started work on it, he unfortunately suffered a brain hemorrhage, collapsed, and died a few days later. So the reins were given over to Irving Berlin to compose the songs for it, and perhaps it's fortunate for us that he did, because Annie Get Your Gun would prove to be his biggest hit and produce many, many wonderful songs, including There's No Business Like Show Business, and this one, one of the great ballads from the play. It's called They Say It's Wonderful. This is Jerry Wald and his orchestra, a Sonora record, featuring Ann Russell, the vocalist, from 1946, the year that the play debuted. Here it is. They Say It's Wonderful.
Falling in love is wonderful. It's wonderful. So they say. And with the moon up above, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, they tell me. I can't recall who said it. I know I never read it. I only know they tell me that love is grand. And the thing that's known as romance is wonderful, wonderful.
Nothing but blue skies do I see. Bluebirds singing a song. Nothing but bluebirds from now on. Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going just right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you in love, my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Thank you. dawn is breaking, Marie. You seem to be waking to find your heart is aching, and tears will fall as you recall the moon in all its splendor. Your kiss, so very tender, the words will you surrender to me, Marie.
Of some of Irving Berlin's better-known songs. We started that set with Jerry Wald and his orchestra in 1946. Vocalist Ann Russell sang They Say It's Wonderful. That was a Sonora record, a little independent label in the mid-1940s, and unfortunately they were using, I think, recycled shellac, so it has a fairly sandpapery, grainy surface that produces a fair bit of surface noise, so apologies for the sound, but not a bad performance at all. After that, we heard Count Basie and his orchestra. The previous year, October of 1945, recorded in Los Angeles, Jimmy Rushing the vocalist on Blue Skies. A real jumpin' version of that. My copy, incidentally, is on the Canadian Columbia label, C837. And we finished up with Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra. Some lovely sax work from brother Jimmy Dorsey sitting in with the band, just after the two brothers had reconciled in the early 1950s. That recording made January of 1954. Gordon Polk, the vocalist. The song, of course, Marie. That was recorded for another little independent label of the day, Bell Records, number 1028. Marie had first been recorded, I believe, in late 1928. The song was officially published a month or so later in early 1929. It didn't make much of a splash at first. It really wasn't until 1937 when Tommy Dorsey's record came out using an arrangement very, very similar to the one we just heard, that it became a hit. And originally, I think it was written in waltz time, but of course the famous version is more of a foxtrot. We have time for a handful more records on today's Shellac Stack program, but before we get to those, a quick time out to say if you'd like to write to me, my email address is shellacstack@gmail.com. Again, that's shellacstack@gmail.com. Feel free to send along your comments, questions, suggestions, or requests. Up next, I've got a record by the Brox Sisters. This was recorded in July of 1926, a Victor record, 20123. The Irving Berlin song, How Many Times? We'll follow that with something from Bunk Johnson's jazz band on the Jazz Information label, record number 11. This was pressed up by Decca Records. Recorded in New Orleans, October 2nd, 1942. So this would have been made at a time when there wasn't a whole lot of commercial recording being done here in the United States because of the Musicians Union recording ban. But apparently Bunk Johnson and his band members were operating outside of that to record this. The song is When I Leave the World Behind. And then we'll turn to Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, a record made in Camden, New Jersey in August of 1927. Victor 20885, a nice up-tempo tune from Irving Berlin called Shaking the Blues Away. To start us off, here are the Brox Sisters, B-R-O-X. Thank you.
and you certainly do like to coo like a dove. A nervous youth, a jealous miss, who wants a truth, is asking me. Have you told that too? How many times has the
Just a terrific record all around. That's Paul Whiteman and his orchestra in 1927, Shaking the Blues Away. Before that, from October of 1942, Bunk Johnson's jazz band, a little rough around the edges perhaps, but I guess that's part of the charm, When I Leave the World Behind. And we started the set with the Brock Sisters in 1926, How Many Times? Irving Berlin was married twice, to my knowledge. First in 1912, he married Dorothy Goetz, who was the sister of songwriter E. Ray Goetz. Unfortunately, on their honeymoon in Cuba, she contracted typhoid fever and died only 6 months later. A few years would go by until Irving Berlin found and fell in love with Ellen MacKay. After some objections from her father, they finally got the blessing of her mother and got married in the early 1920s, and they remained married for 63 years until her death in 1988. Irving Berlin died the following year in 1989 at the age of 101. George Gershwin said of him, his music has that vitality, both rhythmic and melodic, which never seems to lose any of its exuberant freshness. It has that rich, colorful, melodic flow, which is ever the wonder of all those of who to compose songs. His ideas are endless. We have one more record by Irving Berlin on today's program. From 1947, here's Nellie Lutcher and Her Rhythm, a Capitol record of an appropriate song at the end of this program. The song is ended, but the melody lingers on.
The song is ended, but the melody lingers on. You and the song are gone, but the melody lingers on. The night was splendid, and the melody seemed to say, summer will steal away. Take your happiness while you may. There neath the light of the moon, we sang a love song that ended too soon. The moon descended and I followed with the break of dawn. You and the song had gone, but the melody lingers on.
Wrapped up with Nellie Lutcher and Her Rhythm in 1947. The song is ended, but the melody lingers on. For the past hour, you've been listening to the music of Irving Berlin here on the Shellac Stack. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining me for this program. I hope you had fun, and I hope we'll see you back here next time for more 78 RPM records on the Shellac Stack. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.